Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. As always, we'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the row for your neighbors to sign. If you're a first-time visitor with Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you'd stop by and let us know this is your first time here, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Right after our worship service this morning, right around noon, we're having our July potluck lunch with the Faithful Families Sunday School class taking care of the setup and cleanup. We want to remind our elders, deacons, and committee chairpersons that our July board meeting will take place immediately following the luncheon, and that board meeting will be in the upper room. Of course, Vacation Bible School starts tomorrow at 9 o'clock, goes on till noon Monday through Friday. We could still use a few more snack donations of cookies and goldfish crackers, as well as a few more volunteers to assist with our children and youth. Please do read through the information in a bulletin announcement page to learn more about the school supplies collection in July and other activities in our fellowship at Berry Christian Church. As school will be reconvening this week for the Jacobo kiddos, we have a new sign-up sheet in the back to help drive the kids to and from school Monday through Friday. This will be especially important this week, as many of us who have been making daily trips will be tied up here during the day tending to Vacation Bible School. So the more drivers we can get this week, the easier that task will become. Do we have any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. I will sing praise to him as long as I live. We will sing to our God all our lives. Let us sing hymn number 552, stanzas 1 and 4. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Thank you, Jatana Jacobo, for being our acolyte this morning. Maybe bow in a word of prayer. Gracious God, as we prepare to host the children from our community in Vacation Bible School this upcoming week, we do seek your guidance as we nurture the children in their growing Christian faith. We give thanks for our staff of helpers who support the ministries of your church. And Lord, we ask for your continued strength and for your wisdom to be imparted on us so we may share your message with those we are called to nurture and to serve. And as we begin our service of worship this morning, we welcome your presence through the gift of the Holy Spirit as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship today. Please be seated. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as Andrew leads us in song.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning, guys. Wow. What a crew we have. You guys are awesome. We're going to do something a little bit different. Do y'all remember what we're doing? Yes, indeed. Last week, all of our Sunday school classes, our children's Sunday school classes, colored fans. And they're going to go through the congregation, and they're going to hand out some fans. Because every week we got people using their bulletins or whatever they can find to try and fan themselves. Well, now y'all can have a fan. So I'm going to hand them to them. They're going to hand them out. And kids, when you get through handing out your fans, go ahead and go down to Children's Church like you always do, okay? All right. I'm going to give you some. Hold on. Got to be patient. Okay.
Now, I want to reassure everybody that Tom has been looking over our air conditioning systems, and they are working. We got a number of people to lift up in prayer as we go before God this morning. We want to remember Kirby and Helen in our prayers. They've made that trip back from Alaska, but they continue to have some continuation of this head cold kind of stuff that they got, and so please remember them. We also want to lift up Ruth Ann Solomon's daughter, Rihanna Ralston, as she is still going through procedures to determine whether it's going to be possible to do that heart valve replacement surgery. We remember Susan Cox's stepson, Tim Parvin. We remember Joyce Osborne, as she's recovering from surgery this past week and making good progress. We lift up Jerry Treese in the midst of his recovery. We also remember Michelle and Jesus Jacobo and their family. David Haynes is not able to be with us today, so we certainly lift him up in prayer today. Val Stringer would like for us to remember Joan Casebolt, as well as certainly her brother Matt Madsen as well. And a number of other people seem to be making a better progress, and we're grateful for that. So may we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Holy God, we offer you praise and thanksgiving for the privilege to assemble for worship this Lord's Day. We give thanks for the opportunity each of us has to be a living witness for the glory of your kingdom's work here on earth, and especially for the privilege to share our faith with the children of our congregation and community as Vacation Bible School begins tomorrow. For as Paul expressed to young Timothy in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus and what you have heard from me." We rejoice in the experience many of us will have with the children we serve. We give thanks for their vibrant and joyful expression of their faith, evidenced by the way they eagerly sing songs that they learn and by the zeal with which they recite scripture and learn stories of faith from your word. We give thanks to the many adults and young people who will be devoted and have and offer their tireless service in many hours with our children through each morning this week, as their personal lives becomes a living witness of their love for God and for each child. And as we continue to have opportunities to share our faith with the youngest among us, we pray that the children with us will indeed catch for themselves the truth of your love for each of them and the vision you have of their faithful service for your glory. This is the prayer we offer, as we also remember the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Judy, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. Our scripture today is from Genesis 16, 1 through 16, and you can find that in your pew Bible on page 12. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian slave girl whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "You see that the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my slave girl. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived for 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her slave girl, and gave her to her husband Abram as a wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my slave girl to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Your slave girl is in your power. Do to her as you please." Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she ran away from her. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave girl of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am running away from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Now you have conceived and shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, for the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He shall be a wild ass of a man, with his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall live at odds with all his kin." So she named the Lord who spoke to her, "You are Elroy," for she said, Have I really seen God and remained alive after seeing him? Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 68 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael.
It's now time for our congregational hymn sing. This is where you, the congregation, get to pick out a song from the hymn book that you would like to sing. You will, if you have a song you'd like to sing, you will raise your hand and I will call on you, and you will list the number, the hymn number, that you would like to sing. When we do that, we'll just sing one verse and one chorus of that song. Yes, Lana. 39. Hymn number 39.
To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things you have done. With his blood Christ has saved me. With your power you have raised me. To God be the glory for the things you have done.
Yes. 91.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
Yes. 484.
We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall come to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come to on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
One more song. Yes, back there. 556. 5-5. Well, we're actually singing that later. Can we have another one? Yes, Peggy. 90. Hymn number 90.
Come, Christians, join to sing Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ we bring, Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before his throne rejoice. Praise we with grateful choice. Alleluia. Amen.
We've all likely heard stories of people who allowed their GPS devices to lead them down gravel roads or dead ends to nowhere, leaving travelers lost and without bearing. When asked how they got into those predicaments, drivers often would say, "Well, I was just following my GPS." Truth be told, there are many devices and even many vices that can lead people astray. And even many of the most reliable of man-made guidance devices, like an altimeter, need to be adjusted by human intervention to convey accurate and reliable information. This morning, as we imagine the presence of Christ gathered with us at the Lord's table, we're reminded that making a prayerful review of our spiritual selves as we partake in the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, we are in a way making an adjustment to our spiritual attitudes and perceptions in hopes that Christ's discernment within us will align us with the teachings and truths conveyed through Christ's example. Let's follow the ways of Christ rather than the devices and vices of man-made origin, so that our walk may truly be Christ-like. Our communion hymn this morning is hymn number 564. We'll sing both stanzas of "He Touched Me."
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Don leads us in a word of prayer.
Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the privilege we have to come around this table. We come here to remember and reflect on the most wonderful gift that was ever given, the gift of eternal life. We take this bread and we take this cup to remind us of the sacrifice that you made. May you bless these sacraments for the nourishment of our spiritual body. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Scripture reminds us that it is a greater joy to give freely and willingly out of love rather than out of a sense of obligation. In the book of Philemon, the first chapter, the 14th verse in the New Testament, the text reminds us, "Thy benefit should not be as if it were of necessity, but willingly." With these thoughts in mind, Judy leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear God, we come today to praise you and to thank you for loving us and teaching us to love and care for others. We bring our offering today as an expression of that love, and we ask that you would bless it and guide us in the use of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Jerry. May we have a word of prayer. Gracious God, we're truly privileged to be in your house and to know that your word guides us. As you interacted with so many people in years past, we have the privilege to learn from them and understand what you desire from us. Guide us this day and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here we are on this series of messages about significant women of Scripture, as we had had that previous set of sermons about the apostles. That was enough about the men, right? Now let us talk about some of the ladies of the Bible. First time we talked about an introduction, then last week we talked about Eve. Well, if we start making our progress through some of the significant women in Scripture, who would be the next major woman that we should talk about? Well, obviously it would be Sarah, because she is the first matriarch of the Hebrew nation. But as we talk about Sarah, we also have to talk about Abraham. And even before God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and from Sarai's name to Sarah, God had a great plan for both of them. God promised to create from them a great nation. As the scripture text tells us in Genesis chapter 14, as God was speaking to Abram, he said, "Look at the sky and try to count the stars. You'll have as many descendants as that. Now, God had chosen Abram during a time period in human history when a whole lot of folks were worshiping multiple pagan gods. And yet, the unique characteristic about Abram was that he was one who had come from that lineage all the way back from Noah's time, and yet he had remained faithful to the one and only true God. That's why God called upon him. James chapter 2, verse 23, Abraham believed God, and because of his faith, God accepted him as being righteous. But there was a lot that God expected out of Abram in order for him to become a great nation. Even though Abram was 75 years of age, certainly a time to retire, to settle down, to be in a predictable circumstance, God said in Genesis chapter 12, beginning with that first verse, "Leave your native land, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to a country that I'm going to show you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become like a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, so that you will be a blessing." So Abram and his wife, Sarai, Abram's nephew, Lot, and all the servants and belongings were all packed up, and they moved from the settled suburban life that they had in Haran. Now, Haran, by the way, if you know where the Tigris and Euphrates rivers are up toward the northwest, it was between those two rivers where they lived. It is now a portion of eastern Turkey. And they made a 600-mile trek going on down toward that eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea. Now, I notice that every time I make a movement, I'm going the opposite of what you're saying, because I'm thinking east this way, you know. So pardon my motions, they're off for you all. But that's where they went, down to that middle section of the land we now know as Israel, into an area called Shechem. The distance that they traveled was 600 miles, and they didn't have a minivan to do it in. They did it with their own 2 feet. And with all that stuff that they had to pack along with them, don't you know that it was quite a trek that took many, many months? What we have to comprehend here that a lot of folks don't quite know about is that they were going from an urban lifestyle and being called to be Bedouin shepherds. Any of you out there wanting to go do the shepherd life? I asked that in the first service. Not a single person raised their hand. I can see that none of you have either. Some of you who probably worked cattle and the like in your childhood years, you probably don't want to do that again either, right? You know, after coming from cattle parts of Texas, I don't want to do that for a living either. It's a tough life. But this was what God called Abram to, an entirely different kind of lifestyle. We have to appreciate that. And as they settled in, the truth of the matter, however, was that they still had no child, and yet God continued to make a promise that from Abram and Sarai would come a great nation. Look at Genesis chapter 15. Abram had a vision, heard the Lord say to him, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I will shield you from danger and give you great reward." But Abram answered, "Well, sovereign Lord, what good will your reward do me since I have no children? My only heir is Eliezer, and you have given me no children, and so one of my slaves will inherit all my property." Then he heard the Lord speaking to him again, and he said, "This slave, Eliezer, will not inherit your property. Your own son will be your heir." The Lord took him outside and said, "Look, all the stars, you will have as many descendants as that." And so the text tells us in verse 6, Abram put his trust in the Lord. And because of this, the Lord was pleased with him and accepted him. And yet the years ticked on, year after year, and no child. So Sarai became impatient. She devised a plan of her own. And this leads us to Genesis chapter 16. Sarai offered up her concubine, a servant girl, that they had picked up in Egypt. And since Hagar was a slave girl, Sarai believed that if Hagar bore a child through Abraham, the child would belong to who? Sarai thought. Sarai thought it would be her own child. Boy, that's some dastardly thinking, isn't it? You're already setting up things to be a big problem, aren't you? Try to take a child away from the mother. See what happens. Sarai offered up the scheme to Abram. And once again, like in the story with Adam and Eve, the head of the household, who should have known better, did what? Went along with the scheme, gentlemen. Remember, story of Adam and Eve. Eve offers up the fruit to Adam, and what does he do? Does he say, stop. We're not doing the Lord's part here. No, he just goes ahead and takes it. Here, Sarai comes up with this scheme and shares it with Abram, and does he say, God has a plan. You know, I've already told you what God's plan has been. He's spoken to me. Time and time again, he's spoken to me, not just once. He's got a plan. Sarai, you got to trust. Does Abram stop the whole scheme? No. What does he do? Man, whatever you want, honey. That's okay. But that's all right, dear, whatever. Jeez. Talk about needing boundaries. Here. You have to remember, we already talked about this last week. God had already proclaimed in Genesis chapter 2 that the two shall be what? One. Man and wife be one. He didn't say three, four, five. He said one. It is at this point that Abram and Sarai introduced polygamy into their family, and thus they brought it into the nation of Israel. It was Sarai and Abram with their impatience that inflicted great grief upon the Hebrew nation that then affected generations to come. You remember? Jacob was duped by his uncle into marrying not only Leah, but to also marry who? Rachel. Remember David? He would take concubines into his own family. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And we also know that in 1 Kings chapter 11, that Solomon would carry polygamy to an unbelievable extreme with his great wealth. In other words, sometimes when people have a great deal of money, all they end up doing is a great deal of more harm with it, more trouble. Greater amount of resource and influence gives you opportunity to do worse. Not better. And that's exactly what Solomon did. The text tells us that he had a harem of over 1,000 women. Boy, talk about a maintenance project. Just imagine trying to maintain that kind of household. Just it's absurd. It's just absolutely absurd. And yet what we have to understand is that all of this nonsense started when Abram and Sarai were willing to break the guidance that God had set for them. What happens back in their own household? Genesis chapter 16, verse 4 tells us that when Hagar found out that she was going to have a child, she became proud and despised Sarai. Sarai then created strife between herself and Abram, saying in Genesis chapter 16, verse 5, she says to Abram, "It's your fault that Hagar despises me. I myself gave her to you, and ever since she found out that she was pregnant, she has despised me. May the Lord judge which of us is right, you or me." Now, What's happening there? Remember with Adam and Eve, what did they do? They blamed. Adam blamed God and Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. Here, what's happening? Blame. She's blaming Abram. Well, rightly so, but at the same time, is she taking responsibility herself? No. The drama escalated so much that Hagar, even before Ishmael was born, left, went out into the wilderness, and God caught up with Hagar and encouraged her to return and to be obedient to Sarai, telling Hagar that the child that she would bear would become a great nation. Despite all the troubles, though, what we have to understand is, first of all, God had great mercy and compassion for Hagar and Ishmael, and he made sure they were taken care of. Additionally, we know that in spite of humanity's horrific intervention into the plan, God still persisted in making certain that his plan was also going to come to fruition. It's just that it's now botched up with a lot of trouble because of what human beings have chosen to do, which is to be disobedient to God's plan. Genesis chapter 17, God in fact did change Abram's name to Abraham, exalted father to father of many nations. He also changed Sarai's name. Sarai meant, of all things, quarrelsome, and changed it to Sarah, which means princess. Genesis chapter 18 tells us the story of the three visitors who came to Abram's tent. They cooked up a nice meal for him, and of course one of those said that 9 months from now, I will come back and your wife Sarah will have a son. And of course, Isaac was born. Now, they didn't believe they could have a child, did they? But yet, when those visitors were there, the text tells us that they laughed about the whole idea that, yeah, how could they have a child in these advanced ages that they were at the time? And so when Isaac was born, what did his name mean? Isaac simply means he laughs. Later on, the two boys, Isaac and Ishmael probably being about a decade or so older than Isaac, were playing. Sarah saw them playing. For some silly reason, she got upset. She banished them from the tribe. Send them out in the desert with a little bit of food and water. Hagar was saying, oh my gosh, my son and I are going to die. So she kind of sets her son to one side and kind of steps away because she just couldn't see the idea of watching her son die. And God calls upon them and brings them forth, revives them into a new opportunity. And yet, what does the story of Abraham and Sarah have to tell you and me today? Well, first of all, it's interesting to note that even when human beings are in direct contact with God, isn't it interesting to see how many times human beings allow their ego to get in the way and for them to do that which they shouldn't be doing, even though the very God of gods had instructed them? Again, Adam and Eve had a direct contact with God, not just something elusive, not just something from a written word. They had direct contact with God, and yet they still disobeyed. Here we know that Abraham has direct communication with God and shares that with Sarah, and yet both of them go along with this scheme that is in direct violation of God's plan simply because they can't seem to wait. We need to learn from that. When God speaks, listen. Second, when we stray from God's design, and that is certainly the case with the introduction of polygamy into the Hebrew family. And you know, there are a lot of man-made vices and devices that we follow. We'll follow what the media tells us more than what we'll follow what the Word of God tells us. And we'll say it's okay. Because we think, since it's on the media, we think everybody's doing, you name it, X, Y, Z. And it is not even the truth that everybody's doing it. It's just that that's what we see, because that's what the media is showing you. But it's not truth. We do that easily enough. We allow ourselves to be duped by concepts and devices that are man-made. And when we do, what we introduce into our households and into our lifestyles and into our values is tragedy. And we have to understand that Adam and Eve did that, and certainly here we see Abraham and Sarah introducing polygamy into the Hebrew family. And God never intended that to be the case. Never. Third thing, as I've often said to Jonathan, you know, because he and I, we share the same last name. In fact, you know, from my father's heritage, we're the only two guys that kept the name going, me and my son. And so I say to Jonathan, you know, Jonathan, patience is not only a last name, it is a virtue. Sometimes we just need to be patient. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. How do we wait for the Lord? We wait on the Lord by not having to make rash decisions or impulsive decisions, but seeking God's guidance through prayer and contemplation of the Word. If we do that, God will guide us. He will guide us. And so the next time you get into a hurry, and you think you got to do it your way, you might want to back off and remember Abraham and Sarah and how their interjection of their own ideas brought a lot of trouble into the human predicament. The real truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, there would not be Arab and Israeli conflict today if it were not for the introduction of polygamy into the household. And as Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 tells us, we need to understand God has a good plan for all of us if we'll just be willing to follow His guidance. The text says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Do you believe that? Then wait upon the Lord. Do you know Christ, if He's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day. You need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is that day that you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 556, Trust and Obey. We're going to sing stanzas 1 and 4, please. Number 556, Trust and Obey, stanzas 1 and 4, please.
We walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning again. Remember, we do have the potluck lunch immediately after the service today. You don't want to get out in the heat anyway, do you? So why don't you just stay and join us for the meal? Also, deacons, elders, committee chair people, remember, we do have the board meeting up in the upper room. After we have lunch, your attendance is genuinely appreciated. May we bow our heads in prayer. God, guide us as we step forward with the new week. May we always be mindful that you desire to guide each and every one of us according to your will and for your purposes. May it be in humility that we do accept your direction. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. When my cross is heavy, I shall not be moved. When my cross is heavy, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved. If my friends forsake me, I shall not be moved. If my friends forsake me, I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved.
Choose my time.